Rather than risk a tangle with Calpurnia, I did as Jim told me. For some reason, my first year of school had wrought a great change in our relationship. Calpurnia's tyranny, unfairness, and meddling in my business had faded to gentle grumblings of general disapproval. On my part, I went to much trouble sometimes not to provoke her. Summer was on the way. Jim and I awaited it with impatience. Summer was our best season. It was sleeping on the back screen porch in cots or trying to sleep in the treehouse. Summer was everything good to eat. It was 1,000 colors in a parched landscape. But most of all, summer was Dill. The authorities released us early the last day of school, and Jim and I walked home together. "Reckon old Dill will be coming home tomorrow?" I said. "Probably day after," said Jim. "Mississippi turns him loose a day later." As we came to the live oaks at the Radley place, I raised my finger to point for the 100th time to the knot hole where I had found the chewing gum, trying to make Jim believe I had found it there, and found myself pointing at another piece of tinfoil. "I see it, Scout! I see it!" Jim looked around, reached up, and gingerly pocketed a tiny, shiny package. We ran home, and on the front porch, we looked at a small box patchworked with bits of tin foil collected from chewing gum wrappers. It was the kind of box wedding rings came in, purple velvet with a minute catch. Jim flicked open the tiny catch. Inside were two scrubbed and polished pennies, one on top of the other. Jim examined them. "Indian heads," he said. 1906. And Scout, one of them's 1900. These are real old." 1900, I echoed. "Say, hush a minute. I'm thinking. Jim, you reckon that's somebody's hiding place?" "Nah, don't anybody much but us pass by there unless it's some grown person's." "Grown folks don't have hiding places." "You reckon we ought to keep 'em, Jim?" "I don't know what we could do, Scout. Who'd we give 'em back to? I know for a fact don't anybody go by there. Cecil goes by the back street and all the way around by town to get home." Cecil Jacobs, who lived at the far end of our street next door to the post office, walked a total of 1 mile per school day to avoid the Radley place and old Mrs. Henry Lafayette DeBose. Mrs. DeBose lived 2 doors up the street from us. Neighborhood opinion was unanimous that Mrs. DeBose was the meanest old woman who ever lived. Jim wouldn't go by her place without Atticus beside him. "What you reckon we ought to do, Jim?" Finders were keepers unless title was proven. Plucking an occasional camellia, getting a squirt of hot milk from Miss Maudie Atkinson's cow on a summer day, helping ourselves to someone's scuppernongs was part of our ethical culture, but money was different. "Tell you what," said Jim, "we'll keep 'em until school starts, then go around and ask everybody if they're theirs. There's some bus child's, maybe. He was too taken up with getting out of school today and forgot 'em. These are somebody's, I know that. See how they've been slicked up? They've been saved." "Yeah, but why should somebody want to put away chewing gum like that? You know it doesn't last." "I don't know, Scout, but these are important to somebody." "How's that, Jim?" "Well, Indian heads. Well, they come from the Indians. They're real strong magic. They make you have good luck. Not like fried chicken when you're not looking for it, but things like long life and good health and passing 6 weeks tests. These are real valuable to somebody. I'm going to put them in my trunk." Before Jim went to his room, he looked for a long time at the Radley place. He seemed to be thinking again.